Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. Let him hear that. Will you play it a little? Wake him up out there. Wake up the living dead. Wake up the walking dead out there in America. Hollow men. The empty skirts. The empty suits. The robots. The welfare recipients. The food stamp eaters. I am talking to the 50% of America, meaning you, those of you who work for a living and support the other 50% who are being carried on your backs like a monkey on your back. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Today we're going to talk about violence coming from the sewer pipe of Hollywood. We are going to continue talking about the violence and pornography that is spewing out of the sewer pipe of Hollywood to the world, which has triggered the Islamic revolution around the globe. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care what anyone says. It's a reaction to the sewer pipe of Hollywood. You could say it's our foreign policy with regard to Israel, but it doesn't explain the Islamic violence in Indonesia. It doesn't explain the Islamic violence in all of those other hot points around the world. No, it doesn't. You can blame the Jews all you want, but I'm going to say that most of the Islamic hatred for the West is not about Christianity per se. It's about the culture. What do you mean the culture? The pornography and the violence that is being created, disseminated through the sewer pipe of Hollywood. And so I want to talk again today about this issue because somebody has to knock their heads together. Somebody has to take Katzenberg, Ratzenberger, Matzenberg, and bang their heads together and say, the party is over, Bubala. It's time for you to understand that the world is not going to take your vile garbage anymore. I don't care if you created the presidency. You're not God. You're not Caesars. So I'm going to read for you the Motion Picture Production Code, which was the industry moral censorship guidelines that governed the production of most U.S. pictures released by major studios between 1930 and 1968. It was known as the Hays Code, named after Hollywood's chief censor of the time, Will H. Hays. And so people followed this code. I told you I grew up in a time when my father said certain things were never allowed to be shown in movies, but you don't know why. Well, there was a code. And that code was thrown out around the same time that Allen Ginsberg, William Kunstler, and other of the most despicable human beings appeared on the planet, meaning on the social scene. 1968, when marijuana made its way into the mainstream, and when left-wing fanaticism threatened to tear down civilization itself, they tore down any restraints upon Hollywood, and the rest is history. The production code spelled out what was acceptable and what was unacceptable content for motion pictures produced for public audience in the U.S. So what was not allowed to appear in movies? What was not allowed to appear in movies up until 1968 when William Kunstler, Allen Ginsberg, I can name a few others who destroyed Western civilization, shook the pillars of civilization and almost destroyed us. I don't know that we've survived, frankly. Among the things that were not allowed to appear in movies, you're listening to The Savage Nation, were the following. Pointed profanity, suggestive nudity, the illegal traffic in drugs, children's sex organs, ridicule of the clergy. Let's pause right there. Do you know of one movie that's called a drama today or action that does not have profanity, nudity, drugs, children half naked, or a ridicule of the Catholic Church? I don't know of one. Ask Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg why they continue to make such vile filth. Let me go on. Among the things that required special care, according to the Motion Picture Production Code, when dealt with in the movies were the following. The use of the American flag. Jeffrey, the use of the American flag, the thing that has given you your fame and fortune, Mr. Katzenberg, the thing that you spit upon, in my opinion. Arson, the use of firearms, theft, robbery, safe-cracking, dynamiting of trains, mines, and buildings. Couldn't show them in the movies. Brutality and possible gruesomeness. Ha! Oh, Marty Scorsese, where would you be without this? Martin Scorsese, the great genius, old Marty. Everyone refers to him as Marty on a first-name basis because he's such a nice guy. Or Robert De Niro or Sean Penn. Nice liberals. They're all psychotic left-wingers, aren't they? So let me interject this. Which actors and directors, aside from Sean Penn, in your opinion, are most guilty of violence, which they then cover up with their excessive liberalism? It's an old game. You make your living showing extreme violence. You make your fortune that way, and then you pretend you're a liberal. You go to Haiti and you, I don't know what you do in Haiti. I have no idea what he did down there. No one does. Or you towed a machine gun in Louisiana after the Hurricane Katrina to show you're a tough guy in life as you are in the movies. So which actors, aside from the despicable Sean Penn, in your opinion, are most guilty of violence, which they then cover up with their extreme liberalism? So let me go on now with the other things that required special care when dealt with in movies while Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg were still wild-eyed, woolly-eyed hippies and not yet making movies. The use of the American flag, arson, the use of firearms, theft, robbery, safe-cracking, dynamiting of trains, mines, buildings, brutality, gruesomeness. Technique of committing murder, Jeffrey, by whatever method. Technique of committing murder, Mr. Spielberg. Sympathy for criminals, Mr. Spielberg. Sedition, Mr. Scorsese, Spielberg, Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Ratzenberg. Apparent cruelty to children and animals. The sale of women or of a woman selling her virtue. A woman selling her virtue. A woman selling her virtue. Don't they all do it? Can you name one Hollywood slut who's actually married, who's had a baby in the last year? They're a mom. Don't you love they're a mom? Don't you love that they're all moms walking around with their baby now, like the baby with odd names, no American names, of course. Names such as Hermes or scarf or handbag or shoe or nail polish. Here's my little daughter named Nail Polish. Here's my other baby named Diamond Ring. Here is my baby named Gucci. Here is my baby named Poochie. Wait until Poochie becomes a man. You'll really see something. No husbands. But they're all moms. Suddenly they want to cash in on the image of mom and apple pie. You couldn't show rape or attempted rape. Or you could do it, but you had to do it in a special way. Deliberate seduction of girls, Jeffrey. The institution of marriage could not be assailed and ridiculed, Jeffrey. The use of drugs, Alec. Titles or scenes having to do with law enforcement or law enforcing officers. You had to treat them delicately. You couldn't turn every cop into a criminal and every degenerate bum into a hero, Jeffrey. I've just read to you the Motion Picture Production Code. That was a set of standards all followed by the major studios between 1930 and 1968. Tell me what the standards are today. Tell me what the standards are today. Or call me with which actors other than the despicable fraud Sean Penn, in your opinion, are most guilty of violence, which they then try to cover up with extreme fraudulent liberalism. When I come back, I'm going to take your calls on the Savage Nation. I'm going to take your calls on those who are going to walk the wall of shame. We're going to have the wall of shame today of actors, directors, and others, even the men behind the scenes who have destroyed America's psyche and who have triggered the Islamic revolution around the world. I'll be right back.
Savage.
What I don't want.
Three, nothing wrong with me.
Savage Nation. We're talking about the destruction of civilization led by the movie industry, which until 1968 followed a motion picture production code, all thrown out with the arrival on the scene of the hippie gangsters, the LSD, the marijuana, led to the destruction of the movie, the self-control over the movie industry. I read to you the things that were not allowed to appear in movies. You probably don't believe me, but that's true. And I'll read it to you again later, because nobody in the radio business actually gives you a lesson like I give you when I really want to get into it. Why did they break down all of the barriers of Western civilization? Because of a few people. Timothy Leary, Allen Ginsberg, Bella Abzug, and William Kunstler, in my opinion, were the horsemen of the apocalypse. There were others, but they tore down the law, the university, medicine, and literature. They tore it apart, and they opened the society up to the opportunistic infections that we are currently still fighting. And I don't think we can ever win them, because they're too powerful right now. The forces against civilization are too strong in our society. When you have the ACLU going after war memorial crosses, go to my website and see what they're doing now, those disgusting anti-American vermin. Here's a few simple, scared, cockamamie coward lawyers with law degrees in the ACLU telling war heroes and their descendants they have to tear down a cross in San Diego that's a memorial to soldiers from the Korean War. And they don't go over there and say, I'll tell you what, over my dead body. Come on, Marvin. Come on, Marvin. See if you can beat me up with your law degree. Come on, Marvin. See how tough you are. Go tear down the cross to my father's name. I don't know why the Christians take it. My website's very clear. I don't mean it's not going to hold back even more today or tomorrow. And as long as the Lord gives me the breath, I am telling you, you don't have to take it from those rats with law degrees. Who are they? Who made them a branch of government? And my headline's very clear. Christians, ! The ACLU hates you. Very clear. I don't give a parsed headline like Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly's headline today on the Fox website, new poll has President Obama up big. I would say shame on you, Bill, but a long time ago I realized you have no shame. You know that that's a lie, Bill O'Reilly. What do you mean President Obama up big? Every poll shows him down. But not Bill O'Reilly's poll. He conducted it in his toilet with his dog last night, and he found out that Obama's up big in his poll, in the O'Reilly poll. That way he can get him on the show. What? You talk about degeneracy here. You talk about pornography. A headline like that from O'Reilly is pornographic in its lie. But let me get back to the issue of the day, which is the motion picture production code and who destroyed us and which actors, aside from Sean Penn, are the most guilty of the violence, which they then try to cover up with liberalism. And you could throw in some directors, too, like Marty Scorsese, the god of Hollywood. Here are the 20 most violent movies, according to a blogger. He lists The Wild Bunch, which I don't think it is. 2, Switchblade Bromance, Reservoir Dogs, Quentin Tarantino, Battle Royale, Kokushan Takami's movie, Natural Born Killers, I don't know who did that, but Woody Harrelson, one of the most despicable men in the history of American cinema. At the time he was. He's nothing anymore, apparently. Another Oliver Stoner. 300, the movie. Hostel, which is one of the worst movies ever made, which is all about slashed ankles, dismemberment, electrocution, train crushing, you name it. Hostel has it. Cannibal Holocaust. This movie was so shocking in 1980 that the director Ruggero Deodato was arrested in Italy and charged with making a snuff film. The movie Cannibal Holocaust was banned in the UK for its scandalous depictions of violence. 7 real animals were butchered during the making of the film. 9, most violent film, Training Day, Denzel Washington. 10, Saving Private Ryan. I wouldn't put Saving Private Ryan on the list, and I'll tell you why. Yes, there's a lot of violence of soldiers being killed, but it's not gratuitous violence in that it is part of the story of World War II and of all war, for that matter. The others are just gratuitously violent. You see, there's a difference that I would expect people to understand. 11, Kill Bill, garbage. Quentin Tarantino, garbage, total garbage. The True Romance, never heard of it. I Spit on Your Grave, 1970. The Godfather, Francis Ford Mortadella. 16 Ed Gein, the movie about the true story of serial killer Ed Gein. It's about a serial killer. Scarface, number 1982, the remake of Howard Hawks' 1932 crime drama. You know, Tony Montana, Al Pacino becomes a drug kingpin in 1980s Miami. And there is a lot of violence in it, including inventive helicopter assassination. A Clockwork Orange. Now, this is an interesting story as a violent movie. And what it meant. 1971, if you never saw it, don't. It's terrible. Stanley Kubrick's stylish treatise on morality and psychology, The Violence. Championing a new shocking vein of ultraviolence, A Clockwork Orange pushed boundaries with its depictions of rape, gang crime, and psychological torture. Martyrs, 2008, French horror film. Gory, horrible. Apocalypse Now, eh. Post-Godfather epic is kind of a, eh. It's violent, but the fact of the matter is, even though it's a bloodbath, I wouldn't put it into one of the most violent movies. So if you want to add to that list, name other violent movies where violence is gratuitous, be my guest. Why? We're doing the Hall of Shame now on the Savage Nation. The Hall of Shame of actors and directors, and studios for that matter, who not should be ashamed of themselves, but should be controlled by the federal government. You heard me. I'll say it again. That is right. That is right. Between 1930 and 1968, we had a motion picture production code. You know what the code is now? Whatever is more vile sells to the czars of Hollywood. When they come back from their yachts in the Med or the Caribbean, they sit there with their feet up on the desk, and they look at someone who comes in, and if it's about someone who loves America or a soldier who gave his life for America, get him out of here. Don't even let him in the door. What's he doing here? Get him out of here. We don't do movies about America. Get out of here. Oh, a movie about raping a three-year-old. Now, wait a minute. Can we get away with that? Bring the lawyers in. How can we rape a three-year-old on screen and get it? Can we get it in the theater? Can we get in there and rape of a three-year-old, you think? Huh? Any way to get it in there?
Savage.
On the air? I called for Jingle Bell Rock to lighten it up. My inner sensor said you better back them off. Because everyone's putting on their body armor and they're strapping on the body armor. They're putting on the drum mag, painting their faces. life is good. People are wonderful and business is great. I remember those. Remember those bumper stickers in the 70s? Where did they ever go? Every car in California had another saying. It was so, it was grating. Well, it was innocent compared to today. If I see another Obama bumper sticker in Marin, I may have to go get a T-38 tank to drive on Highway 101. If I'm cut off by one more Prius driver from the right lane with an Obama sticker, I may have to buy an M1A Abrams if they're road ready, you know, if they make them with rubber tires. Whoa. So what do you want to talk about? I mean, I've given you the motion picture production code in the Savage Nation. I've read you the list of the 20 most violent movies. I've laid the blame clearly at the feet where it belongs. I've asked Obama to stop blaming gun owners and start blaming movie makers. And I'm asking you, who other than Sean Penn, in your opinion, are most guilty of violence for their careers, which they then try to cover up with extreme liberalism? Period. It's simple. John in New York on WOR, you're the first up. Go ahead, please.
Well, you know, I'd say Woody Allen is subtly chipping away with his neurotic relationships, constantly love triangle. And when you span the whole of his career, the 30 years of love triangles, of this guy in love with that girl, in love with that guy, and no one's able to commit, it's like a little atomic bomb. Even though he sprinkles it well with a joke here and a joke there, it just literally attacks the whole
Woody Allen made the weakling acceptable. Woody Allen made it acceptable for a white male to be a weakling and a kind of uncommitted weakling white male. Everyone thought it was cute to be like that. And one of the things he did specialize in is attacking the institution of marriage, but not solely that. He certainly went after everything else, mainly Jews. You know, he's Jewish, of course, but one of his favorite targets, in the sense that they practice the religion and believe it. And that's why he always mocked him. Remember the famous scene in one of his movies where he is at a dinner somewhere, I don't know, in Annie Hall. And he's sitting at the table with the Christian people. And the grandmother stares at him. And in his inner mind, he thinks she sees him in a black hat, black garb with red hair and red whiskers and red sideburns. Remember that movie?
Yes, yes.
All right, so why do you think Woody Allen was obsessed with attacking Orthodox Jews and running down Judaism? For the same reason he attacked marriage. So, yeah, he's a product of the 60s, and he's done very well at it. He flies an F-22 Raptor. They don't want to see an Israeli who can be a battalion tank commander. They don't want to see an Israeli who stereotype. And I'm going to go back again to the 1940s. There was a character called Stepan Fetchit. He was the servile black actor. He made a fortune. What happened was black people had said, enough, we don't want that role anymore. So Hollywood stopped making it. They were afraid of the usual suspects with bullhorns. But no one has ever stood up and stopped making sick of it. Okay, why? Why hasn't anyone said, cut it out, we don't like it, or the drunk Irishman? You follow me?
Yeah,
You've yet to see an Islamic terrorist shown in a major movie that I've seen, maybe once in a while, 10 years ago. Why do they avoid showing any connection between terrorism, mayhem, roadside bombs, 9/11? Why have they never made a movie called 9/11? Tell me why. Tell me why Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg, the big brave men of Hollywood, who produced the sewage that the world is vomiting back, how come they never made a movie called 9/11?
Yeah, you got a good...
They specialize in violence. It would fill a theater. Why won't they make that movie? Well, there's a number of reasons. One, because they're looking at international sales. Number two, a lot of their money comes from Saudi Arabians who would never fund such a movie. Go down the list. Go down the list. Why has my novel, Abuse of Power, with Jack Hatfield, who fights Islamic terrorism to save San Francisco, why is that not yet a major motion picture? It's a fabulous book. 6 weeks on the New York Times list or more. Why has it never been picked up by Hollywood? Because Katzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg gave it a Caesar thumbs down. Expose the villains who have tried to destroy me, number one. And then I may do things that I had to put on hold while my life was destroyed by the people who live off me to try to destroy me. And I'm not naming names. I'm never going to name names. But you're going to find out what I lived through. And if you know anyone who could live through what I lived through at my age, I'll tell you what, I'll give them an award. I'll give them a bronze star in America. Nobody could live through what people who I thought were my allies and friends are trying to stick a knife in my back and trying to steal everything I earned my whole life. You would never believe it. You would never believe that I've been able to get up and do a radio show every day despite this. You would never believe the system. You will never believe how distorted and perverted a certain legal systems. I'm doing a book with my lawyer on the perverted legal system and how people get destroyed by it. I even got a title. We got the pages written, laid out. You're not going to believe this book because I'm going to expose things that you've never heard that go on inside courtroom systems, and I'm going to name names. And it's going to be a worldwide blockbuster because everybody knows what the legal system does to them. Anyway, when I get through with that, I may make that movie. I may produce it. I may do other things, but thus far, 2 years of my life have been stolen. There is a God in heaven. Those who have done this to me, every last one of them falsely accusing me, should pay narration in advance. Okay? What do you want to talk about in the Savage Nation? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, now we change the pace and we go to The Godfather because we're talking about motion pictures and what they've done to society. We've named the villains. We named Leary Ginsburg, Abza Kunstler, who, in my opinion, kicked down the doors of Western civilization. And once that was achieved, the vermin in Hollywood went crazy. Profanity, nudity, drugs, children, sex, ridiculing the church, stepping on the flag, showing arson, overuse of guns, showing safe-cracking, robbery, theft, brutality of every kind, sympathy for murderers, sympathy for criminals, overt sedition, Oliver Stone, in my opinion, a cruelty to children and animals, selling women, women selling their virtue, rape, constant rape, deliberate abduction of girls, destroying marriage, showing drug use, attacking law enforcement, cops, showing them all to be corrupt. This is what the vermin of Hollywood have done for the last 40 years. And as a result, now we see the shooting in the movie theaters, to me, is the end line of all of this. It should be the beginning of something new, but it won't be. You know it won't be. You're going to tell me Obama, their handpicked president, is going to do anything to them? No, he'll tell you to give up the AK-47. I say give up the HD camera. You may as well ban HD cameras as ban an AK-47. Tell Spielberg he can't use an HD camera anymore. Okay, let's go to the callers. Jack in Houston, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, you spoke about The Godfather. I'd like to compare that to the movie The Untouchables. And my point is that criminal or mob movies can be done in two different ways.
Right.
The Godfather was, I mean, like you said, just a nasty movie. But The Untouchables with Kevin Costner dealt with the mob, but you didn't see blood and gore. They didn't show the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Well, you know, but if you look back to The Godfather, by comparison today, it wasn't that violent. I mean, it seemed like comic book-like, you know, when you actually think about it. It was nothing compared to what the garbage that they put out today. You know, look, there's a lot of blame to go around. My main point today is that we need a new motion picture production code. That's my point. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that.
So that's the main point, is we need a new motion picture production code. And if they won't get their act together on their own, then the people have to get their act together. You say, well, they can. They don't have to go to the movies. That's easy to say. I've heard that before. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. That's like saying put drugs out there and let anyone who doesn't want to use it not use heroin. All right, does that make sense to you? Let heroin be legalized and let those who don't want to use it not use it, but it should be legal. I'm not ready for the Dutch method. I'm not ready for Dutch euthanasia, a nation that commits suicide. Holland committed suicide. So did you look at the whole, all the low countries have committed suicide. That's a kind of double entendre. But the fact is that the low countries have committed suicide, social suicide with their liberalism. Maybe that's why they were called low countries originally. Who knows? Look, this is not a funny topic. And I'm a movie lover. Don't think I'm like a Mennonite who sits in the house with a buggy whip. I don't sit at home, you know, and I ride my buggy to the studio. I love movies. But do I have to watch violence and pornography? No. I'll give an what's the blinking for? We're out of time again? Yes? Is it time for a break? What was the flash for? I don't know what the red... I thought it was your mistake. Watched a movie on television called War Winter or Winter War. War in the Winter. Never heard of it. Dutch movie. What was it about? A 13-year-old boy who starts, joins the underground resistance in Holland and helps them killing Nazis because they kill his father in this little town in Holland. It's one of the most stupendous sleepers I've ever seen. Was the violence gratuitous? No. Was there a lot of it? No. But it was the undertone was so, the drama was so profound that you felt tension from the entire movie. And you see some of the most beautiful scenery. It's wintertime in Holland during the Nazi occupation. It shows ordinary men and women joining the resistance to undermine the Nazis who have occupied this town. There's very little violence, but that which does occur literally makes your heart pound. Like when his father, the mayor, is taken out and put up against the wall with other men who stood up to the Nazis, or allegedly stood up, and they think they did, and he's standing before a firing squad, and this little 13-year-old kid is running, screaming to try and stop it. And as he jumps over the wall just before the guns go off, amazing movie. There's some amazing films out there, which of course have some violence, but there's a redemption to the violence. There's a meaning to the violence. And it's based upon reality. It's not just gratuitously thrown in there, like Kill Bill, for example. or something of that nature. And by the same token, the Saving Private Ryan is the same type of movie. Of course, there's violence in it. How many men were brutalized in World War II? There's violence in war. But to make it up? No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And people would go to movies, by the way, which have redeeming value. The theaters would fill with movies such as that. It's not that such movies would not sell. I could make a movie. I could direct a movie about Madame Curie and make it into a bestseller. Do you know that? I could make a new movie about Madame Curie, a great scientist, and people would flock to it. Why? Because it's about a woman, when women were not prominent in science, who did the most amazing things in science and won a Nobel Prize. A lot of women would like that movie. Families would go to it. Why don't they make it? Because the mindset is in there. Matzenberg, and Spielberg don't even think that way. They don't think about values that lift people up. I used to leave movies in the 50s, come out as a little kid. I felt, do you remember going to the movies in those days before TV really, if anyone goes back, you'd come out of a movie in the middle of an afternoon. It looked strange. You didn't know what was real. The movie or the afternoon sun didn't look real to you. You'd come out in the daylight. Everything looked wrong because you were just taken away into, okay, Audie Murphy, the hero, Audie Murphy, World War II, Korea, right? You wanted to be Audie Murphy, or you wanted to be John Wayne, or you wanted to be George Washington crossing the Delaware. You wanted to be someone who America loved. And we have many boys in this country who still do that, but they're not glorified. They're not lionized. They're laughed at by the vermin in Hollywood, as are the vermin in the ACLU trying to rip down the crosses that are erected in their honor. That's the society we're living in. It's like the fall of Rome. We're witnessing the collapse of Western civilization. And this, what went on in the movie theater, is almost a crescendo, but not the final crescendo by any means. It was almost a crescendo before the real crescendo of what's coming in this country. I fear another 9/11. When you have such numbskulls as Janet Napolitano in the Department of Homeland Security, when you have such pro-Islamic people running intelligence agencies, you're telling me we couldn't have another 9/11 in this country when they bend over backwards to see the side of Al-Qaeda? Yeah, you tell me about it. I don't sleep well at night. I fear another 9/11 in this country because I do not believe we have an intelligence apparatus that is able to do its job. By the way, 1-800-449-8255. Let's take the callers on the Savage Nation. Who do you think, aside from Sean Penn, in Hollywood is most guilty of using violence to advance themselves, which they then try to cover up with the superb false liberalism? Max in Las Vegas, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Max, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. Shot. Gone. Next. Monica Santa Maria, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I just want to simply say thank you from the bottom of my heart for being brave, having the courage to stand up and say these things. You're very brave, and thank you from the bottom of my heart.
You're welcome, and let me tell you something. I've paid a very high price. I've been boycotted. I've been ridiculed. I've been smeared. I've been ostracized. I've been outcast. I've been turned into an outcast. I'm living alone, basically. Society has rejected me. I'm banned from entering Britain, and forth. And I said to him something about, do you know I'm banned in Britain? He said, no, I know nothing about that. What does that tell you? Here is a guy who thought who's talking about that. Why? Because all they know when they read about my name are a few things that I allegedly said that I never said. And for being crucified, I'm being crucified for things I never even said. I can't even enter Britain. Would you believe it? They let Islamic murderers live there. They let Islamic terrorists into England. They let them live off welfare. They're with 16 children. I can't enter Britain. Can you believe this? And this guy didn't even know it. This guy didn't even know it.
Disgusting.
And so, let me finish. My radio show is the number three in the country. Despite all of the boycotting, despite all of the blacklisting, my show is number two on the internet where there is no boycotting. See, all it has to be fed is by one station, and anyone can listen to it anywhere in the world. And so the show now is number two radio show on the internet. What does that tell you about the power of freedom and the power of the independent mind going against the establishment? I am actually the anti-establishment character that Martin Scorsese pretends to write about, produce movies about. See, this is something that I really want to spend time on. All of these anti-heroes are really scum. The murderer is not an anti-hero. He's just a scum murderer. The drug dealer is not an anti-hero. He's a scum drug dealer. I'm the anti-hero. I'm the outsider. I'm the guy that everybody wants to actually be in Hollywood. I'm the guy that everyone in Hollywood who pretends to be a tough guy actually wishes they were. They couldn't walk in my shoes for 3 hours. None of them could do a three-hour radio show ever. It's impossible. I'm telling you, they couldn't do it, but I'm actually the image that they're trying to project. I don't have to run around and strut around in Haiti after an earthquake. I don't have to strut around with a shotgun in Louisiana and then run to Hollywood and be a big stoner. Your hair will stand up. And you will say nobody on earth could live through what he lived through.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. Those who beat their swords into plowshares will plow for those who don't, Mr. Obama. Let me repeat that. Those who beat their swords into plowshares, Mr. Obama, will plow for those who don't. Welcome to the Savage Nation. In the first hour, which I consider one of the best hours I've done in a long time, I talked about the motion picture production code that existed until 1968. And among the things that were not allowed to appear in movies were, and I named them, and then I pointed out the most violent movies and who are the purveyors. And I asked you which actors, aside from Sean Penn, are most guilty of violence. Civilization is falling for a number of reasons. I named names. Tim Leary, Allen Ginsberg, Bella Abzug, and William Kunstler were those barbarians who kicked down the doors of Western civilization or kicked down the pillars of Western civilization. There are certainly others. And then after that, after the late 60s, everything fell apart, and I don't know that we're ever going to recover from it, truthfully. I also allege, tell me if you agree or not, that the Islamic revolutions going on around the world are in part a reaction to the sewage that's coming out of Hollywood. These throwbacks, I'm not justifying it, don't put me in that category, but men who live in the 11th or 9th century don't want the sewage that's created by Hollywood in their living rooms, if you don't mind. And they're willing to kill to stop the sewage from coming in. So they say death to imperialism, death to the West, because they don't want the sewage of Hollywood pouring into Saudi Arabia. They don't want the sewage of Hollywood pouring into Pakistan. They don't want the sewage of Hollywood pouring into the throwback cultures around the world who live in another epic altogether, never mind another century, another epic. So it's Hollywood that I say has stirred up the Islamic hornet's nest. And it's because of the filth and the violence that they send out to the world that you see this going on around the world. In part, it's certainly not the only reason for the Islamic uprisings. There are internal divisions, Sunni, Shia, oil rights, madness, you name it. But Hollywood has an awful lot to do with the madness that's running through the world, is one of the things I alleged. So I go back again to the Motion Picture Production Code that ended in 1968, where certain things were not acceptable, such as profanity, pointed profanity, nudity, illegal traffic in drugs, children's sex organs couldn't be shown, any ridicule of the clergy. The things that required special care when dealt with in movies were the following. These could be shown or dealt with, but you had to be done in a subtle manner and a dignified manner. The use of the American flag, Oliver Stone. Arson, Al Sharpton. The use of firearms, Sean Penn. Theft, robbery, safe cracking, dynamiting of trains, mines, buildings. That goes to any action star. Brutality, gruesomeness. Any technique of committing murder by whatever method was not to be shown. No sympathy for criminals was allowed to be shown. Ha! Sedition, where would Oliver Stone be? You couldn't deal with sedition and be Oliver Stone. Oliver Stone would be a high school geometry teacher today were it not for his purveying of sedition and violence. You couldn't show the apparent cruelty to children and animals unless it was done in a very special way. The sale of women or of a woman selling a virtue. Tell that to Madonna. Rape or attempted rape. Tell that to half of the starlets, who I would like to call harlots. The deliberate seduction of girls. The institution of marriage couldn't be attacked in a regular manner. The use of drugs. Or any titles or scenes that debase law enforcement, trying to show every cop as a villain. And now we've come full circle where virtually everything that was sort of not allowed to appear in movies or had to be touched with kid gloves is now front and center, right? And that is why the society is collapsing. Tie that into video games. Tie that into the overdrugging of children with legitimate drugs. Tie that into a melted down educational system that doesn't teach the three R's or require children to take tests which show that they can do the three R's. Tie that into the debasement of the universities where courses such as ethnic studies are considered more important than nuclear physics. And a nuclear physicist or a chemistry major is considered a dork, while someone who majors in ethnic studies is considered a genius. So we've had the revolution. It's occurred. And I don't know that we could ever come back from it. So you want to join this discussion? I don't do this very often, but after the massacre in the theaters, I think it has to be done. And as I say to you, it's done with a certain degree of reservation on my part because, after all, I'm in radio. Radio is a division, in a way, of the entertainment business. The czars of Hollywood have tremendous power over the media, including radio groups, radio heads, who may be sitting on the maybe board of directors of some of the big radio companies, sit on Warner Brothers. I don't know. So there are ramifications for taking this on. This is something you're not going to hear on Bill O'Reilly's show. This is not something you're going to hear on Sean Hannity's show. Nice men in their own way. They do a very good job. But there's certain topics they will never cover. That's where I come in. Let's take your calls. 1-800-449-8255. Sean in Virginia, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, you're absolutely right. When I was in the university in Europe in the mid-70s, our professor, who was fluent in Arabic and traveled the Middle East, he said, "You don't understand how offended these folks are from your television, from your movies, from your music, how it's such an affront. They hate your culture and what you're doing to them. And it's not like they can protect their families because you can get those signals. When I lived in the Middle East, you could see Bedouins in tents out in the middle of the desert with a car battery and a television, and they're receiving signals like Baywatch and watching television that's broadcast from Europe or Israel, and they're seeing American TV out in the middle of the desert, and they can't keep their families from it, you know, and they just detest it. He predicted it.
Right, and so you agree with me that it's the sewage coming out of the sewer pipe of Hollywood that is wrecking the entire third world.
Absolutely. I lived for a year in the Middle East, and I've had young guys come up to me, you know, locals, and say, you know, that's what they hate. They don't, the way...
Now, listen, I've alleged that it's the cultural pollution that has steamed up the entire Islamic world, and I've been they try to cover this up. You remember how powerful the movie industry is. Remember how powerful it is, and their allies in the banking industry. They've put out the propaganda that has nothing to do with our culture, nothing to do with our export of movies. It's something to do with Israel. They themselves are trying to blame Israel for all of the Islamic uprising, which is utter nonsense, because you can't explain 90% of the Islamic uprisings on Israel because they don't even know where Israel exists. Thank you for the call. And it reminds me of my own travels when I was doing the travels in the South Pacific. See, I went back to 1969, my first trips collecting plants in the South Pacific, in Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, etc. There was no television in Western Samoa when I had first gotten there. as the years went on, 1969, 70, 71, televisions were appearing in the Follies. Those are these straw houses in Western Samoa. And you would see entire groups of people sitting around a Folly at night instead of singing traditional songs. Sounds funny, doesn't it, Alec? Alec in Hollywood, you're laughing right now with your feet up. You think it's a joke, huh, what you've done to this world? Let me tell you something. Just as I sit here, there's a God in heaven, and one day you're going to be raked over hot coals for what you've done to this world. Not by me, certainly, but by the man upstairs. He knows what you've done. He knows what you've done. He sees the yacht. He's letting you have your fun with your G550, whatever, your yacht. You're having a good time. But it's a brief dance in the sun that you have right now, Alec. And when this dance in the sun is over, and you go back from where you came, you're going to face your maker, and your maker's not going to be real happy with what you did during your brief dance in the sun here on the earth, Alec. So nevertheless, I sit in the villages where at night, maybe in the past, they would be singing songs or sitting talking, drinking Yangona. All of a sudden, they're sitting around a television in the middle of the straw hut being run by a generator watching, at that time, I don't know what it was, Dallas or something like that. And then sure enough, soon they were seeing other imagery. And in a few years, the boys of the villages were no longer obedient to their fathers and grandfathers. They were no longer following the law, the rules of their fathers. They were no longer following the rules of their society. Suddenly they wanted to look like gangbangers in the ghetto. Suddenly the boys in Western Samoa were aping the postures of the gangbangers in the ghetto. That's what happened to society. So how do you stop it? It's very simple. You say, oh, he's just, you know, venting. It's simple. Michael Savage says, bring back the motion picture production code that ended in 1968. Just as I said to you, bring back Glass-Steagall. And guess what? It's happening. Yeah, I wrote it in Trickle Up Poverty and Trickle Down Tyranny. Restore Glass-Steagall, which was thrown out by Bill Clinton and Rubin, who ran the Treasury Department. He came from Goldman Sachs to run the Treasury Department. He got rid of Glass-Steagall, where banks, commercial banks, and investment banks could merge and become one. The result was the disaster of 2008. Now they're saying they're going to restore the Glass-Steagall Act in part. It's under some new rule. I don't know what they're calling it. I am telling you that if we keep pushing back against the czars of Hollywood, we will have a motion picture production code, and we just might save America. It's a tough battle. It's tough and go, and I'm glad I'm on the front lines, and I'll be right back.
Savage.
We're talking about the vermin of Hollywood, the sewer pipe that comes out of Hollywood, and the czars of Hollywood, and the violence in the movie theater after the Colorado shooting. Here's a joke now. Harvey Weinstein calls for filmmaker summit on violence in movies after Colorado shooting. I swear to God. Weinstein, an avid, by the way, Weinstein has produced some of the most violent garbage in the history of Hollywood. In fact, one could say he kicked down the doors of decency, and he's now probably the most powerful man in the world of film. Weinstein, an avid Obama supporter, cites lack of gun control as the real culprit behind the Colorado theater. But old Weinstein says it's time for Hollywood to examine its part in perpetuating real-life events. Well, Harvey, I would say this, Harvey. We don't need gun control. We need Weinstein control. We need Spielberg control. We need Tarantino control. We need Scorsese control. You see, that's what we really need. We need Weinstein control. We need Tarantino control. We need Scorsese control. Do you think we'll ever get it? Of course not. They put Obama in office. So what do you think? Who's going to control him? Eric Holder? Eric Holder's going to control Hollywood when you have such nepotism going on in the Justice Department? From Godfather to The Dark Knight Rises, a history of violence in U.S. theaters. So he goes on, if we don't get gun control laws in this country, we're full of beans, says Weinstein, who needs to be Weinstein controlled. To have the National Rifle Association rule the United States is pathetic. Well, Harvey, I would say to have the ACLU rule the United States is even more pathetic. Then he goes on to quote his good friend Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Weinstein, who was throwing an Obama fundraiser on August 6th, goes on to say that he's backed all of Quentin Tarantino's violence-infused movies. The upcoming movies, a violent slave era Western that's due out Christmas Day, that's what he's bringing to the world. a violent slave era Western throughout Christmas Day from the sterling mind of Weinstein. He also released Joel and Ethan Coen's No Country for Old Men, another fine film of quietude and peace. So he's put out this mayhem, and now suddenly he's acting like his skirts are clean. Here's what old Weinstein says. It's a question that I wrestle with all the time. I've been involved with violent movies, and then I've said at a certain point, I can't take it anymore. Please cut it out. You know, you've got to respect the filmmaker, and it's a really tough issue. My heart goes out to those kids and those families, Weinstein said later in the interview. Oh, sure, Harvey. Was that between the sushi and the champagne? Sitting there feasting there in some restaurant? Your heart goes out to them. Ha, ha, hearty, har, har, as Jackie Gleason would have said. Harvey Weinstein, his heart goes out. Which heart, Harvey? Which heart is it? What heart? People in Hollywood say you have no heart. Harvey Weinstein calls for a filmmaker summit after violence in movies, after Colorado shooting, but he says it's time for gun control. No, it's time for Weinstein control. It's time for Tarantino control. It's time for, it's time for some controls, but you're never going to get them. Never in a million years. Never in a million years. I'll take your calls now on the Savage Nation. Gary in Sacramento on KSTE. Go ahead, you're on the show.
Michael, I want to thank you very much for bringing up this subject. I really do appreciate this. I've looked into the dead eyes of studio heads, directors, and producers when I worked in a major motion picture studio for 13 years as a struggling screenwriter. And I cannot express the amount of rage that I have with what's going on in Hollywood. I felt this way for the last 30 years. I got out of the business because I had enough of it. I lead a normal life now as a contractor. I'm not a screenwriter anymore, but I just couldn't take it anymore, Michael.
I know lawyers who've left the legal profession because they have to lie for a living. Many of them would rather work as a carpenter than as a lawyer.
That's right. I mean, these people make their living lying, cheating, stealing. It's nothing but the trickery and deception. And what I want people to do is to communicate with one another. Tell other moviegoers how you feel about all of this. Because that's what...
Look, let's be real. You think Harvey Weinstein is going to change his ways? A man who came from nothing and made such a fortune in this country by purveying pornography and violence, in my opinion? You think he's going to change his... You know, that's his stock and trade. It's like if you're a fishmonger and lox sells, pike and whitefish sells, but trout doesn't sell. You think he's going to start selling trout and angelfish?
He will never change, Michael.
He will never change. The government has to control Harvey Weinstein, Quentin Tarantino, and the others who have put out this garbage. It's never going to happen. What do you think that they put politicians like Obama in office for? It's for days like this. You think Obama's going to say it's the problem, it's a cause, the movies caused it? No, he goes after the gun owners, NRA. That's what he does. Thanks for the call. It's unbelievable. This is the Savage Nation. If you care to join the conversation about your feelings about, aside from Sean Penn and Harvey Weinstein, who are most guilty of violence, who then try to cover it up with their extreme liberalism? Anyone other than Penn and Weinstein? Who else comes to your mind? Certainly Quentin Tarantino, who no one even knows, except inside the film world. He thinks he's known by everyone. No one ever heard his name. It's like Eisenstein.
Savage.
Well, we just had a moment of laughter on the Savage Nation before the break. Welcome back. We're talking about violence in films and its relationship to the slaughter in the movie house. And we read a statement from Harvey Weinstein, who has overseen the production of some of the most violent filth ever seen in the history of the world, saying that it's the fault of the NRA and gun control needs to be enacted, but that he should sit down in the movies and talk about it. Now, telling Harvey Weinstein to cut back on violence in his movies would be like telling Michael Phelps not to swim in water. Cymbal shot. That's good. Telling Harvey Weinstein or Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spatzenberg to cut back on violence in their movies would be like telling Michael Phelps to swim on land. It ain't going to happen, especially since they handpicked the President of the United States. Who do you think put Obama where he is since he's an unknown incompetent who has wrecked the economy, turned America's image inside out and is out to destroy this country as quickly as he can? Who do you think did it? Hollywood. The very people who've destroyed our society from within gave us Obama. They were raising money for him 2 years before you ever heard of him. I have contacts in Beverly Hills who told me that. They knew about the fundraisers. They used to see the 200 Priuses lining up. They saw it. Virtually every agent and producer in Hollywood was forced to attend. It's funny, they all almost have the same car now. No Rolls Royces allowed, or BMWs or Mercedes. They all have to drive a sensitive, sensible car. They have to wear sensible shoes. And they have to show that they're very sensible. What's the word that they like? Sustainable. Sustainable things. Everything's sustainable. Everything's sustainable except the violence and filth that they pervade to the world. That's the one thing that isn't too sustainable. I love the word sustainable. You know how words come and go? Every other word in society, is it sustainable? We use sustainable this, sustainable. It's crazy. It has no meaning. Like sensible shoes, sustainable shoes. What's sensible mean? Well, I don't know. What does sustainable mean? Just cut out the pornography and violence. Yeah, they're going to do it, right, because you want them to. Remember, Jack Valenti was the last head of the MP, Motion Picture Association. But he didn't really do a job. Jack Valenti was handpicked by them. The only one who controlled them was the Hays Code, named after the chief censor at the time, Will H. Hays. Now you say, Michael, come on, you really in favor of censorship? Wouldn't that affect you? Don't you live off the First Amendment yourself and talk radio? Yes, I do. I do, but I don't use violent phrases. I don't use dirty words. I'm not Howard Stern. I don't need shock value in the terms of dirty words or violent imagery to get you to listen, do I? I want you to think back upon my 18-year career. Have I ever used a filthy word? A, no. B, it wouldn't get out on the air because they have the censor button, but I don't use them. B, I don't talk about violence per se for the sake of violence. If a violent act occurs and it becomes a point of discussion, yes, but I don't talk about that simply to get you to listen. I don't make jokes about rape. You understand what I'm saying? I don't ridicule handicapped people like Howard Stern does to get a laugh. I don't ridicule gays and lesbians as some people do. I don't do any of those things. And yet I have a monster audience. How did that happen? Because people are thirsting for reality. People are craving somebody with sense and the willingness to stand up to all of this insanity. I don't think we can save the civilization, frankly. It would be like telling Michael Phelps, the famous swimmer, not to swim in water, to tell Quentin Tarantino or Marty Scorsese not to make a movie about violence. What can Marty Scorsese do but a violent movie? It's his stock and trade. It's like he's a fishmonger and he's made a fortune selling whitefish and pike. And now you're asking him to sell trout. He doesn't deal in speckled trout. He doesn't deal in freshwater fish. Scorsese deals in the saltwater creatures such as lox, for example. He's made a fortune in selling a very fine variety of lox that people like. Now you say, you can't use it because it's the orange coloring matter, and the orange coloring matter in lox is bad for people. We want you to start selling sustainable fish. That's not artificially colored. I just had salmon for lunch at a Japanese restaurant. I know it's all dyed. It's crazy. Every piece of salmon is apparently dyed. Every piece of salmon, they use red dye, the same stuff that was used by the movie massacre guy. I hope it's different, the food coloring from the hair coloring. I don't know. I have no idea what they put in the fish. It's probably red dye number 14 that I never heard of when I was, an expert in this field. Here's some headlines. Mayor Bloomberg endorses Scott Brown. Well, that's their sisters under the... Of course he's going to endorse Scott Brown. They're both rhinos. Carney unable to identify capital of Israel. Carney is Obama's spokesmouth. Carney is the carnival clown inside the White House briefings, which are becoming increasingly rare. Watchdog finds nepotism at Justice Department. No, shocking. Shocking, the Justice Department's internal watchdog said today that 8 current or former officials at one of its divisions steered jobs to children or other relatives. We're living in a banana republic under Eric Holder. Shocking. Violating laws and regulations that forbid nepotism. What laws? They are the law. Similar allegations of improper hiring practices at the department's Justice Management Division, which oversees administrative and back office staff, have been the subject of repeated investigation by the department's Inspector General. Found instances of family members being promoted to hire in violation of the law. Under Eric Holder? That can't be going on. See, this is the thing that would... Under Romney, when Romney's president, because he's such a clean living guy, you know this is not going to happen. This is why they hate him so much. If you were a federal employee who was a moron, who didn't deserve your job, let's say you're a federal employee who's an absolute moron, who only got there because of nepotism or paying off an official and getting a job, would you want a clean living Christian man in the White House? That would be your worst nightmare. Would a guy like Harvey Weinstein or Marty Scorsese or what's his name? Not Al Pacino, the other one who's a bigger liberal than Al Pacino. The other one from Greenwich Village there. He's a great actor. I love his acting. De Niro, another psycho-liberal from you know where, from Hades. Would any of them want a clean living Christian in the White House who might put in some laws or requirements that Hollywood stop it? They couldn't make a living anymore. De Niro could because he actually changed to the comic role. That's a very hard thing to do. He's one of the few people who switched over in his later years when he could no longer, he didn't want to play or couldn't play the heavy anymore. The chin, you know, time and gravity catches up to all of us, myself included. And you look in the mirror, you see a little bit of the chin, the gut. The hair, you can't suddenly play the tough guy anymore, so you start to play a different kind of role. He did it great. How many guys could change over like that? Very few guys who played heavyweight leads like that could ever change at age 60 or whatever it is into some comedy role. Some tried. It's horrendous. It's sad to watch. Look what happened to Nolte. Look what happened to Dustin Hoffman. Look how he just tried to do that horse drama. That was really a big winner. That was the most nightmarish television production I've ever seen in my life. Luck. My God, was it bad. I'm a connoisseur of TV and movies, by the way. I'm a great connoisseur. I am, in my own mind. I mean, I don't watch anything they put up there. I'll turn things off, like you will. But I'm a connoisseur of even action movies. I'm a connoisseur of, if I search for movies at night on Comcast, I usually go, I skip action because that usually means violence. I go to drama. Drama will have some violence in it here and there, but it's not gratuitous. It may be part of the plot. Just as my novel, Abuse of Power, those of you who made it a bestseller, and one day it might be a movie. As I say to you, it should have been a movie a long time ago. It's phenomenal. It's about Jack Hatfield, who lives in San Francisco on a boat, who has a dog named Eddie. Ha, ha, ha. And Jack Hatfield is a former reporter who got thrown out of his TV job for saying things that he didn't say. He censored. And through a whole trail, he discovers that the hand of Allah is working to blow up a major structure in San Francisco. And the whole movie is about Jack racing in disguise to Israel. He disguises as a certain character, sneaks into the UK because he's banned from entering Israel, banned from entering the UK, pardon me. I'm getting ahead of myself. So my character, Jack Hatfield, races around the globe to get to the bottom of the hand of Allah. And his number one cohort or ally is a female Muslim whose brother was blown up by the radical Islamists. And she hates radical Islam as much as the rest of us do. And so she's a co-star of the book, Sarah. Everyone loves Sarah. She's a beautiful Yemenite woman. She's a Muslim. How come this book has never become a movie? Answer. Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, Spielberg, Oliver Stone, and Weinstein are the czars who say, not in our town. I was told point blank, they were told, we don't care how good it is, he will never, ever, ever, ever work in our town, meaning that book will never turn into a movie. Little do they know that I have the capacity to produce the movie myself, and through friends, I can get it distributed through 800. Once I'm through with it and I come out the other side, because God loves me, I may produce the movie and do other things. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We've been talking about violence in the movies. We've been talking about the sewer pipe of Hollywood and how it's basically, I think, created the entire Islamic Revolution. I mean, you could blame Israel if you want. I would say in an isolated pocket of the Islamic world, Israel's a problem for them. But the entire Islamic world is certainly not obsessed with Israel. They're obsessed with Western civilization, not because they know about Dante or they know about Shakespeare. It's because they know about Marty Scorsese's vile productions or Harvey Weinstein's offerings of lox on a platter. That's what they're reacting to. They would like to believe that they're not part of the problem, but I would disagree heartedly. And I would say that the motion picture production code that was eliminated in 1968 is a good place to begin. I'm not saying we should go back to the Goody Two Shoes movies of the 19. Well, when were they really? I mean, you know, I've seen movies from the 1930s that are very violent, but they weren't quite on the same order of what we're seeing now. You know, the licentiousness, the nudity, the profanity. Look at the girls in movies today. Every other word is the F word. They think they're so cool. Every other scene is either a cigarette or a marijuana cigarette. Every scene, every harlot, they're either smoking a cigarette or smoking dope, and then they get up the next day because their agent says, you know what, we want you to go on an anti-smoking campaign. Tell them you're a vegetarian. At night, they're like, you could just imagine what they're doing at night till 6 o'clock in the morning, the degeneracy. Right? The next morning, they're vegetarian. They're working on vegetarianism. They're taking a cleansing tonic. They're not wearing any animal products. And they're working against global warming. You know how they are. Liberalism is a mental disorder. That's what we understand. But we, the rest of the society, have to put up with the mentally deranged. So let's take your calls. Ralph in New York on WOR. You have a very good point, I think. Please make it.
Let's face it, Michael, we're drawn to this gratuitous violence. You've touted The Godfather many times. I love the movie. I've been an actor for 25 years, Michael. Your love of The Sopranos doesn't go missed. I've heard that also. But there's something about this culture that these empty-headed morons, you know, the ordinary Joe in a T-shirt, they love it. They love it, Michael. It wouldn't be made if they didn't eat it up like a cat licks up milk, you know? You mentioned a couple of films that were interesting.
Let me go back to your beginning. You've made some interesting points, and I'd like to respond to them, not necessarily debate them. First of all, you say I love The Godfather and Sopranos. That's absolutely true. Do I like them because of the violence, in spite of the violence, or because the violence is in there? I don't watch it. I didn't watch The Sopranos for the violence. I watched it as much for the dialogue, the acting, and the characters as I did for the occasional scene of violence. Now, let's switch the set and frame to a movie that's made strictly for the violent imagery. So, you know the kind I'm talking about. One in particular comes to mind, the Hostel series. You know the movies,
sure.
Right? Okay. Those movies like Hostel were made strictly to put out torture porn. That's not the same as The Godfather, which was a piece of art.
Michael, you're so right about that. But let me say, in 69 there was a film called Midnight Cowboy. Not necessarily violent, but it was a turning point. It was rated X. Then it went with no rating. They had no idea what to do with the film. They took out a couple of.
What was so violent? What, when he beats the guy up in the hotel room with the telephone?
They had some homosexual activity that wasn't looked upon very nicely at the time. They had other things, silly things. But that was the turning point there. It wasn't necessarily the violence. It was the overt sexual content.
But look, you're on the board here on the show, on the Savage Nation. It says actors asking, where is the line drawn with violence? What are you suggesting?
What I'm suggesting is, if you ever were to get, they will never go back to that act that was taken out in 1968. They make movies now. I've seen scripts, Michael. You wouldn't believe the graphic content that I've seen in things that are handed to me. There was a film called No Country for Old Men. You mentioned it by the degenerates, the Coen brothers. These guys are misfits, Michael. Tarantino is a misfit. He has no place in society, but yet...
But they're very rich, powerful misfits. They're running the world. Listen, hey, my friend, the misfits are running the world. That's why it's wrecked. The sane people have almost no power.
Isn't that funny, though, Michael, that they can make it in that business, but had it not been for that business, they'd frankly be out in the streets somewhere.
I don't want to sit here with, you know, putting down everybody in the movie business. I happen to think that there are geniuses in the film business. In every aspect of a movie, there are geniuses. In fact, one of the things I love about a good, great movie, a great drama, is when I watch the credits at the end, I don't watch them because I know the names, I'm not in the industry. I am amazed at the amount of people and the talent it takes to make a film. From the costume designer to the set designer, the hundreds of people who are involved in a production astound me what it takes to do a real production. I do a radio show every day. I have a producer, I have a board operator, and a call screener. And then I do the show alone. I have no lighting. I have no directing. I have no one else on the stage. I have no sound effects, really. Think about what I do and what it is. I'm performing. I'm a performing artist. I'm a performance artist. So I understand what a big production is. I'm awed by it, how you can get all those moving parts together and how it works out. So anyway, don't think I'm knocking the art of the motion picture. The contrary is true. I love the art of the motion picture so much that I'd like to see them reined in or rein themselves in, but they're never going to rein themselves in. So it goes back to my primary point, is that we need a new motion picture production code. We need to establish it. They need to follow it. Now, do I need the government running it? I doubt it. I don't want the government running anything more than they're running, because they can't run anything really right. Really, they can't do very many things right anymore. And they're so tripped up with political insanity that I'm shocked that a Navy ship can still fire a weapon. I'm shocked that a young man can learn how to fly an F-18 Hornet with the restrictions put upon him. I'm shocked that anyone's allowed to fire a bullet under Obama. So I doubt very much that a motion picture production code under the auspices of the U.S. government would be of any value, would be of no value whatsoever. No, it's not the AK-47, Harvey. It's you. You are the problem. No matter how many, they're all going to try to deflect. Oh, it's the machine gun. It's the automatic, the semi-automatic. We don't need those. No, Harvey, we need Weinstein control. We need Spielberg control. Well, I think Spielberg is sort of out of it these days. I get the feeling he's kind of, you know, the dinosaurs were the end of the road. You know, I don't think Spielberg makes violent movies, does he? Does anyone know? I don't even know what he makes anymore. Coppola doesn't make violent movies. He's become like a character. He's become like Don Corleone Coppola. He's basically walking around the vineyard fat and happy after the $90 million Pinocchio suit 20 years ago. He never made a good movie after that. You know, the guy's walking around in his vineyards, and that was it.
I thought you'd be a governor, Governor Coppola, Senator Coppola, Speaker Coppola. We didn't have time, Michael. We didn't have time. There wasn't enough time.
The wine is garbage, but I can't drink that wine. So that, my opinion, Dreck. People drink brand names. They drink the brand name. One man's opinion. He bought the Christian Brothers estate. He's never been heard from since. He never did another movie. I wish he did. It used to be so good. We all hang on the edge of our seats till another Coppola movie came out. Remember those days? Look how society has changed. The man was a giant. And there was violence in his movies, but it was part of the story. It wasn't the story itself. Remember the basic difference, set and frame. What's the frame and what's the set? I learned this in basic psychology a long time ago in college. And I've never forgotten it. And the problem with our society is it's been reversed. Set and frame have been reversed. You could check it out. I don't know if Google has anything on it. But set and frame was a very famous discussion in the annals of psychology. And that is our problem. Bring back the motion picture production code, says Savage.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's some audio clips we have for you on the Savage Nation. Hey, here's Obama at the National Urban League, whatever that is.
That's part of the bargain. America says, we will give you opportunity, but you've got to earn your success. You're competing against young people in Beijing and Bangalore. You know, they're not hanging out. They're not getting over. They're not playing video games. They're not watching Real Housewives. I'm just saying, It's a two-way street. You've got to earn success. That wasn't in my prepared remarks. But I'm just saying.
And here he is hinting at more gun control.
Steps to reduce violence have been met with opposition in Congress. This has been true for some time, particularly when it touches on the issue of guns. And I, like most Americans, believe that the Second Amendment guarantees an individual the right to bear arms. I think we recognize the traditions of gun ownership that passed on from generation to generation, that hunting and shooting are part of a cherished national heritage. But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals. That they belong on the battlefield of war, not on the streets of our cities. I believe the majority of gun owners would agree that we should do everything possible to prevent criminals and fugitives from purchasing weapons. That we should check someone's criminal record before they can check out a gun seller. That a mentally unbalanced individual should not be able to get his hands on a gun so easily.
And here's Senator Boxer with her same old war on women. Poor old Barbara. She just can't be more than a U.S. senator.
I think they're on the wrong side. I think President Obama's on the correct side. I think women know who's on their side. I hope they know who's on their side. If you look at Mr. Romney, he wants to overturn Roe v. Wade. He would defund Planned Parenthood. He supports the Ryan budget that destroys the things that women need and children need and families need. So this is important for women to understand how key it is that they get out and they vote in this presidential race, in the Senate races, and in the House. They should turn away from this Republican Party. This is not the Republican Party of your granddad. This party has moved to the far right. They are ideological. They are conducting a war against women. They're conducting a war against the middle class and the working poor.
Here's Schumer, Chuck Schumer, on tax cuts.
Oh, it's a big winner. You know, for 30 years, Republicans have won the tax debate by conflating middle-class tax cuts with tax cuts on the very wealthy. And those days are now over. We have made a clean break. We have said that middle-class people whose incomes are declining in today's society deserve a tax break. But it would be better to put the money for wealthy people instead of in a tax break into deficit reduction. That's a big winner for us. And the reason Mitch McConnell let us have a vote was because he was afraid that if we only voted on our bill, that they would lose. It's the first time that Republicans are on the defensive on taxes. I think that's going to continue. This is a watershed day that we'll see reflected over the next several years.
Here's former Homeland Security Secretary Chertoff, God, I wish he was back, on monitoring threats.
If someone's name was on a watch list already, whatever the ethnic background, obviously that would have called for a much more serious and intense scrutiny. In terms of just the average person, whatever their name, ordering quantities over the internet, I don't know that we have a monitoring program yet that looks at the amount of ammunition or whether you buy tactical gear and body protecting armor. And it may be that we should have some kind of a system in place where we monitor certain kinds of lethal equipment in much the same way we do with explosive material. But it's a complicated issue. The civil libertarians would get all upset if you're doing too much monitoring. But, you know, one of the lessons here is much of the most lethal activity Holmes engaged in was building booby traps and explosives. And the raw material for that isn't armaments or guns. It's some of the material you can find in your own kitchen. So you're kidding yourself if you believe that simply monitoring material is going to answer the problem. It's a lot about people and not things.
Here's Romney giving an interview to not Michael Savage, but Brian Williams.
Political implications, legal implications are something which will be sorted out down the road. But I don't happen to believe that America needs new gun laws. A lot of what this young man did was clearly against the law. But the fact that it was against the law did not prevent it from happening. This person shouldn't have had any kind of weapons and bombs and other devices. And it was illegal for him to have many of those things already, but he had them. And so we can sometimes hope that just changing a law will make all bad things go away. It won't. Changing the heart of the American people may well be what's essential to improve the lots of the American people.
Here's Romney on Israel.
What assurances can you deliver to Jewish Americans that you feel have been unfulfilled by this administration? You use the word shabby in the VFW speech to describe the state of affairs.
Well, we're on foreign soil right now, and I don't want to be in any way critical of the president or to be fashioning foreign policy departure from the president while I'm on foreign soil.
And here's Romney talking about his wife having a horse in the Olympics.
It seems to me this completes your Olympic experience. You get to run the games, and now you actually have a horse in the race. What's that going to be like?
Well, it's a big, exciting experience for my wife and for the person that she's worked with, the trainer of the horse who's riding the horse. And obviously it's fun to be part of the Olympics in any way you can be part of them. This is an sport. I'm not even sure which day the sport goes on. She will get the chance to see it. I will not be watching the event. I hope her horse does well, but just the honor of being here and representing our country and seeing the other Olympians is something which I'm sure the people that are associated with this are looking forward to.
And here's what's on michaelsavage.com, home of Borders, Language, and Culture. Warner Brothers is violence, says the New York Times. Oakland Zoo removes Ten Commandments monument, says the San Francisco Comical. Homeless bums are urinating and defecating in the San Francisco subways to the extent that the escalators stop working. Ugh, disgusting. Christians, the ACLU hates you and your religion. They want to tear down another memorial to dead soldiers for Korean War veterans. I don't know why the veterans put up with these cowards. I don't understand it. Who gave these people in the courts this power? Did you? Excuse me, Christians. Go out there, protect your cross, and tell the ACLU to go to Russia. Also on michaelsavage.com, Ambien found in Mrs. Kennedy's blood after the crash. Remember that crash? She crashed into a truck, and the truck driver was fine, not her? Yeah, well, they found Ambien in her blood. The Associated Press said sleeping medication found, sleep aid. Ambien was the drug, not a sleep aid. States rebelling against high costs of Obamacare. 25 governors have rejected it. Really? I guess they didn't read trickle-down tyranny. Obama rewarded 08 fundraisers, and he's barring many of them from helping now. Why? Who knows? Buyer's remorse for pro-Israel voters. You mean they finally woke up to the Muslim-loving president? Obama isn't in love with the idea of Israel? No kidding. He's in love with the idea of pan-Islam. What else is on michaelsavage.com? Walker hits Romney campaign is too passive. Black mobs now have the soundtrack for violence. I am still banned from entering the UK. Where are my human rights? I don't know if you ever read that article. If you're new to me, you know. Did you read that article? It's on michaelsavage.com. Muslim Brotherhood calls for a jihad to liberate Palestine. Who would have thunk? Really? I can't believe that. The Muslim Brotherhood, who we've warned you about for years on this show, a good friend of Soros, Brzezinski, Hillary Clinton, and of course Obama, they are calling for jihad to liberate Palestine. I'm shocked. I'm just shocked. Obama thanks gay porn kingpin at the White House. Terry Bean, gay porn kingpin. Gay porn bowling pin. What else is in the news? Apparently, Mitt is fighting with Cameron, my good friend in London. Oh, Romney says, looking forward to the bust of Winston Churchill being in the Oval Office again. Good for you, Mitt. Go, Mitt, go. See, Romney questions if the Brits are ready to defend the country against Al-Qaeda. He's right. Godfather, Rahm Emanuel in Chicago, who's Jewish, is using Farrakhan's Nation of Islam, anti-Semitic, to patrol the streets of Chicago. Does that match Obama's speech about a well-funded, well-armed domestic private security force? Is that it, Beowulf? You think we're seeing the beginning of arming of the Nation of Islam?
Interesting. Interesting times. That's the curse.
Oh, my God, Beowulf. That's a big story. Because the next two we can hear is he's deputized them to protect the streets, right?
If you want martial law, you need marshals.
Well, you don't need the law. That's for sure. Poll, less than half of voters think Obama is Christian. Is that many still think he's Christian? About 1 in 6 voters still thinks Obama's Muslim, while only half identify him as a Christian, according to a new national poll released Thursday. Pew Research Center's Forum on Religion. 70% said Obama is a Muslim. 31% did not know Obama's religion. The percentage who think Obama is a Muslim has actually increased by 5 points since he was elected in 08. How'd that happen? From the talking heads, you think? Or from the fact that we never see him in a church? I wonder what people are getting those stupid ideas, Beowulf. You have any idea?
No idea. What could it be?
What might it be?
The fact that he doesn't use God in his speeches, whereas Romney does? Who knows?
God? What has God got to do with it?
God in Berkeley?
Mitt's in London. He met Red Ed. He's allowed to go to London? He just criticized radical Islam. They should have banned him from England. Mr. Leader, did Mitt Romney forget Ed Miliband's name? He already questioned the preparedness of Britain to host the Olympic Games, and today Mitt Romney added to the gaffe count of his UK visit by appearing to forget Ed Miliband's name during a press conference. Duh. Maybe he did it on purpose, dummies. Here's one last story on MichaelSavage.com. Einstein's theory is proved, and it's bad news if you own a penthouse. Why? Because scientists using atomic clocks are showing that time moves faster at altitude, even on Earth. You hear? So the higher you live above sea level, the faster you should age. Oh, that's amazing. That's a great story.
Another reason not to get high.
For every foot above ground, for instance, the clock showed that someone would age about 90 billionths of a second faster over a 79-year lifetime, Dr. Chu said. Oh, my God. Okay. All this and more on the Savage Nation. Wait. Hang on. Before I go, you know, I hate seeing my electric meter spinning around like some crazed hamster wheel. Running the AC is like watching dollar bills fly out of poorly insulated windows. It costs thousands to replace windows, but for a fraction of the cost, you can put gorgeous energy-saving solar shades over your windows from Blinds.com. Blinds.com saves my listeners and me in so many ways. They offer a huge selection of designer blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes at prices lower than Lowe's and Home Depot by posting free online how-to videos that make transforming any room in about 20 minutes very easy and by yourself. Listen, by making measuring so utterly goof-proof that even if you mismeasure, which is next to impossible, they'll remake it for free. Get free color samples, free shipping, no sales tax in most states, plus expert installers if you need one. Save an extra 20% on top brands through July 31st at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, where prices absolutely crush home improvement stores. Don't be blind. Go to Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Did you get it? Blinds.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own.
Okay, there it is. This is the core of Obama the Communist. If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. I have been telling you for 3.5 years he's a naked Marxist. This is communism. This is how communists think. This is how losers think, frankly. They hate the boss. They hate the owner. They assume they're as smart as you. But frankly, most of them, when the whistle blows at 5 o'clock, they just want to lay back. They don't want the worries that you have. They don't know anything about finance. They don't want to bother raising the money, taking the chances that you took. The essence of capitalism is to have an idea or to have a dream and work towards it. Borrow money if you have to, as I did. Work for next to nothing, as I did for years, to get where you are. Even in radio, I had to work for next to nothing in the beginning. The fact of the matter is, you invest in yourself and you believe in yourself. But no one did it for you. I believe Obama is reflecting the true Obama. He hates successful people. He hates the American way. He resents anyone who is successful. He still thinks he is a poor man. He still thinks he's an outsider. This is a very pathological statement, by the way. If you want me to get into the psychology of it, I believe that the pathology expressed by Obama where he says if you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. Somebody else made that happen. He's trying to say to you that he's jealous of you because he knows in his heart of hearts that he didn't get where he is on his own. He knows that he's a Manchurian candidate of sorts who was planted here by forces beyond our comprehension. And so he thinks everybody who's gotten anything has gotten there through someone else. Nothing could be further than the truth. And that's why I've invited you to call the Savage Nation. And this goes for virtually any field of endeavor, whether you're a ball player, talk show host. I don't care what you are. If you don't have the brains and the drive, you're not going to get where you are. No one put you there. Let's look at the Navy, the U.S. Navy. Look what this man is doing to the Navy with the crazy girls from Harvard. Take a look at what he's doing. Take a look at what this crazy man in the White House is doing to the military. Take a look at what the crazy man is doing. Eliminating urinals on ships.
Savage.
Now, I don't understand how anybody who works for a living can't finally understand that I am a sage. I've told you from trickle-up poverty to trickle-down tyranny, I've proven it. He's a communist. This rhetoric is that of communism. This is the rhetoric of Karl Marx. This is the rhetoric of someone who hates capitalism. This is the rhetoric of an anti-American. This is the rhetoric of an America hater. This is what dumb Mitt Romney should be talking about. This is what the dummy should be talking about. Well, he's really a nice man. And I think that nice man really ought to stop some of his staffers from saying those mean things about me and Ann. That's the end of the road here. I mean, either we get someone with guts running against him or we're crushed, we're finished, it's over. It's time for someone to take Romney and stand him up and say, hey, dummy, you're the only chance we have. We put you in here in order to overturn this dictatorship. You know, get your act together. But no, he's still calling this communist, this America hater, this guy surrounded by 1,000 criminals. He's still calling him a nice man. U.S. Navy ship kills one after firing a boat off Dubai, right? U.S. Navy ship opens fire on a small boat racing toward it in the Gulf city of Dubai. They kill one of them aboard the boat. They fire a 50 caliber machine gun at it to protect the ship. So what's happening now? There's an investigation. Imagine a warship fired a gun. My God, I will bet you that the boat that was coming to the warship was simply some Arabs trying to trade baskets or to deliver some sardines as a gesture of friendship. After all, we didn't remember the Cole. Why should we remember what happened with the USS Cole? That shows a warlike mentality. My suspicion is that it's some Christian heterosexual Tea Party member who fired that machine gun, and I think he should be purged out of the military. I think that if we had a big fat feminist banning that machine gun, and the machine gun was turned towards the Navy ship itself instead of away from it, to make certain that the Navy personnel all went as instructed into the diversity training room, I don't think incidents like this would happen too often. I think if we had more and more big sisses aboard ships with machine guns not aimed outward, but aimed inward, making certain that the Navy personnel conform to the new edict of the Obama administration, these sorrowful incidents would not occur again. We have no reason to believe that those Arabs approaching the warship at speed in a fast boat had any harm intended. As I say, they're probably bringing pita bread from their village, from the native crafts, because they love America so much. Or perhaps they were bringing a basket of fresh sardines or some other low-gluten item for the Navy personnel because they care so much for us. And I think this trigger-happy Christian heterosexual who fired the machine gun ought to be, well, if not imprisoned, he should certainly be investigated, interrogated. And I would guarantee you that if Obama gets behind this investigation of that Navy guy who shot that machine gun, they will find for sure a connection to a Tea Party. There's no question about it. This is the kind of thing you get in the Navy when you have heterosexual Christian men who believe in the Tea Party. They fire guns. They fire guns at people who they think are coming to hurt them. That's not what the warships are for. A warship is not meant for war. It's a birthing clinic with propellers. It's a diversity training mechanism. It's a method of bringing people up who would normally be trapped in the lowest strata of society. That's what the Navy is for. In fact, I think that if they really would let Obama get control of the Navy, they would probably remove the engines and propellers and just leave them moored to the docks where they could be used as birthing clinics and things of that nature. That's what they're built for, not built for war. When was a warship ever built for war? And that's why I say Obama really should look into this Navy ship killing one after firing at a boat off Dubai. He can certainly get that as correct as he gets the idea that somebody built your business for you. You get it? How do you feel about Obama saying that you didn't build it on your own, someone did it for you? Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about. New York, WOR. Joe, let's go. I don't know who to take. I got so many callers right now. All right, Jamie, line 8 from KSTE Sacramento. Go ahead, please.
I'm proud of doing the business all my own with the 2-year-old at home. It was difficult, but it has paid off in the long run, and we didn't have to get loans. We did it with the money that we saved up.
But wait, now, you're not saying you did that on your own, are you? Obama would say someone did it for you.
Yeah, well, those
did you get it? Did you build your business while eating government cheese and getting government? Didn't a bureaucrat from Sacramento come and show you how to start your business?
No.
You mean Jerry Brown didn't send one of the geniuses that he hires from one of the flop schools in the state to show you how to start a business? I can't believe that.
Nope.
No, they study business at the colleges in California in between the acts of pornography and sex. They must know how to start businesses. They come out, they want to run a business. They want to own a business. They want to tell you how to run your business. They want to permit you out of business, so they must know business. I mean, if Obama knows how to permit you out of business, he must know all about business. That's what I say. And so you have to take Mr. Obama seriously. Phone number is 1-800-449-8255. You know, Alibaba and the 40 Thieves was a fable that I read as a youth. We don't have Alibaba and the 40 Thieves right now. We have Alibaba and the 400 Thieves running this country, who think that anyone who's successful in this country owes it to the bureaucracy that, in fact, stands in the way of our success at every turn. Finally, someone's responding to Alibaba. Business leaders hit back at Alibaba after he says the wealthy aren't responsible for their own success. Finally, business leaders have broken out of their shackles. They've broken free of the shackles put on them by Obama and Alibaba. And Obama said, if you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. So finally, they're fighting back. Picture today speaking at a town hall rally in Cincinnati. He's been blasted by business leaders who say he has a lack of understanding of American entrepreneurs. Of course he does. To a Marxist, the bourgeoisie is a dirty word. That means middle class. To a Marxist, an entrepreneur is an evil person who needs to be arrested after his assets are stolen. Obama said in a speech in Virginia on Saturday that small business owners could not claim credit for their own success. He said governments, not individuals, create jobs. He knows nothing about business because he's never run one. He knows nothing about creating a product or a service that anyone actually needs, because he has never created a product or a service that anybody needed. Obama is a front man for very powerful forces who put him where he is. Now, I'll give him credit. He's a very hardworking front man. He's working as hard as any candidate I've ever seen. In fact, he's shriveling away. I don't understand that part of it. I'm actually worried for the president's health. He looks skinnier than any healthy man should look like, to be honest with you. Something's wrong with the picture. But the fact of the matter is, there is no question in my mind that I'm not indebted to the government. The government has tried to destroy me every step of the way. There's not one thing the government ever did that gave me success. Not one thing. I had to get around everything the government created in order to get where I am personally. I'll say that unequivocally. The government did nothing for me. It stood in my way. In fact, when my turn came to take the job I worked for, they said white males need not apply. We are the government. You will have to put your life on hold. We need to give it to unqualified minorities, unqualified women, unqualified illegal aliens. That's right, sir. You're a white male. Too bad you're an immigrant son. Too bad the times have changed. Step aside. Let the really superior people take over. Yeah, so no, the opposite is true, but we're fighting for the survival of our country. We're fighting for the survival of the American way. We're fighting for the survival of literally our self-respect. Because if we let this guy get away with this naked Marxism, We're going to wind up with a society very much like that in Havana, Cuba, where there's nothing but broken cars from the 1950s, and people sit around collecting a welfare check and play backgammon in back alleys because they've got no opportunity. Houses that were once beautiful have fallen into disrepair in Cuba because nobody will invest in painting the house, in repairing the plumbing, in repair, calling an electrical contractor, because A, they don't have the capital to do it. B, they can't borrow the capital. C, nobody would buy the house because you're not allowed to buy the house at a profit. That's the exact model that your communist president is using for his mind, that backs up his mindset. I'm not going to tell you I am shocked by any of this. What I'm telling you is I'm shocked that anybody who works for a living would ever vote for this guy ever again. I don't understand how anybody, and I don't care what their race is, I don't care what their age is, how anybody who works for a paycheck could ever vote for this man is beyond me. What do you think? Are you offended by Obama's remarks, or do you think he's right? Gina, New York, welcome to the Savage Nation from WOR. Go ahead, please.
I'm very offended. My husband is a doctor, and he came from upstate New York. He came from the sticks, came from nothing, put himself through college, through a scholarship because he's smart, and he got there on his own. Ended up with student loans, put himself through medical school, which now he has $300,000 to pay back. Nobody's helping him pay that back. You know, he's working.
Yes, but Obama would argue that the government, through their subsidies, built the medical school.
Right, exactly.
But that doesn't mean that anybody can make it through the medical school, does it?
No, absolutely
not.
No,
it's still up to the individual with the brains and the drive and the willingness to put in those years to become a doctor. See, it doesn't mean that just because the government helped put up the bricks and mortar that every moron in the street can become a doctor. Well, of course, that's not true, because under Obama soon, every moron will be able to be a doctor.
That's right.
All right, look, it's very dangerous what we have here. You know what our biggest problem is? It's not even Obama. It's the fact that he's a nice man. I know he didn't mean to say it. He's a nice man. This is not going to win, Mr. Romney. Mr. Romney, stop it. Mr. Romney, please stop it. Stand up and say what I am saying. You'll win by 30 points. Sacramento, California. Did the government help you, Darren?
Hey, Michael, how are you? Yeah, we have a live theater company up here, a professional. We don't take any money from anybody. We employ between 10 and 15 people, and we have worked our butts off for 23 years. My dad works 6-7 days a week, 12 hours a day, and the government does nothing. The statement that Obama made is just absolutely beyond the pale, man. It's disgusting.
Well, you're going to vote for him, though, right?
Yeah, right. There's no.
You're going to tell everybody that you meet that Obama's right, that the government built your family business, and that without Big Brother, you couldn't do anything.
You made a statement a while back that I absolutely agree with, and I've felt this way for years, many years, and that is we succeed despite what the government does to us.
Bingo. That's right. You know, in Sacramento, you own a theater. How many city, state, and federal inspectors have come around to bother you or do come around to plague your theater? Numerous.
Well, interesting. Well, we have the local health, and that's not a huge deal. They don't give us too much of a hassle. We run a clean ship, but our theater actually burnt down at one point, and that turned into a major, major nightmare dealing with the bureaucrats. And then, of course, we had to do this, and we had to do that, and we ended up shrinking our house size, so we lost because we had to make the aisles different.
Oh, the seats. The seats are a problem in a theater for a bureaucrat. In fact, you should have... See, to a bureaucrat, the ideal theater would have no seats. You have to understand how Obama thinks. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Blame for this tragedy? Does this shake your faith in God? I mean, what if you're a parent of one of those children and you're a Bible-believing individual? Does this shake your faith, or do you think this is God's hand? Do you believe the sewer pipe of Hollywood is partly responsible? Do you believe that Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg are responsible for this? Do you believe that there should be some kind of self-censorship by Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg? How could you not ask yourself if the violence in this film had anything to do with this jerk, this crazy killer? Because he said he was acting out the Joker from the film. He dyed his hair like the Joker in the film. He wore certain body pieces, costume pieces that matched the film. He said it. The killer himself, Aurora Dark Knight suspect James Holmes, said he was the Joker. Say the cops. He says he was the Joker. And he went to the movie theater, loaded with the gun, certainly. You can start in with the gun blaming if you wish, but I'm certainly not going to let that occur because it's not about the guns, it's about the shooter. He dyed his hair like the Joker, and the Joker is a well-known villain in the fictional Batman universe. The attack took place at a screening of The Dark Knight Rises, the final movie in the Batman trilogy. And the fact of the matter is, he played the villain. And so I ask you, Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Vatzenberg, are they responsible? They put out one violent movie after another. They have no consciousness as to what people think about such movies and their effects upon people, nor do they care. To me, it's like selling drugs. To me, the Hollywood moguls are like drug dealers. But instead of peddling crack, what they're peddling is violence and pornography. Now, there was a time that there was a Movie Association of America, whatever it was. Jack Valenti was the head of it. But before that, there was J. Edgar Hoover. And J. Edgar Hoover was a tough guy, and the movie moguls at the time were afraid of him. And the movie moguls would not put out movies that glorified violence. In fact, as I was a kid, my father told me, he said, you'll notice. See, I remember this. My father said, notice that every time there's a gangster in every movie, in the end he dies. He doesn't get away with it. I said, why is that, Dad? He said, because the movie studios made J. Edgar Hoover understand that they would comply with his desire to not show that crime pays. In fact, the opposite is true. They will show in every movie that crime does not pay. I said, well, that makes sense. That, as a kid, even I understood it made sense. Now, reverse it. Now, after the 60s, Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg have made every movie without exception show that crime, in fact, does pay, that leading a straight life is for rubes, and that only perversion and crime pay in this society. So now you see the piper has to be paid. That's one man's opinion. But who do you blame? I know you're not going to blame Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg. I understand that. How about God? Does this weaken your faith in God? I don't see how it can strengthen your faith, but it certainly shakes a person's view of religion. How could a just God let this happen? How could a just God let the Holocaust happen? How could a just God let a school bus go off a cliff with 16 children who came from a Christian camp? Well, I have an answer to that, or I wouldn't have any faith in God at all. And the way I've dealt with it is a way I've told you about it on the show. And I read it a long time ago when I had questions like this. See if it works for you. God is not omnipotent. God is omnipresent. God observes. God does not move the hand of everything that occurs on the earth. Every movement on earth is not controlled by God. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. But he does not control the destiny of every individual. I believe there is individual destiny. Otherwise, we're just robots. And I don't believe that I'm a robot. Do you believe you're a robot? You believe you have no individual control over your life? You believe God is moving your every breath? Well, leave me out of that one. Who do you blame the most is the question. I certainly think there's a lot of blame here for the movie industry. I mean, what are you, crazy? You're going to let them double talk you that there's no relationship between watching a violent movie and violence that occurs soon thereafter? I'm not buying that. To me, it's Ratzenberg, whoever did this movie. That complex of the moguls, the new czars of America, the ones who gave us Obama. Now, speaking of Obama, truthfully, he gave a very polite speech. I guess it's all a president could do. I thought Romney's reaction was more spiritually moving. But truthfully, in my heart of hearts, I believe the president should have called Warner Brothers and said, we're pulling the movie temporarily until we get on top of this. And Warner Brothers should have complied. But you know they can't do it because they put him in office. That's all. He's like an actor on Warner Brothers stage. Obama is like an actor on Warner Brothers stage. How, you can have an actor tell the producer what to do? So that's why you're not going to get that kind of a response from government. What are you going to do here? There's plenty of blame to go around. At the end of the day, the kids are dead, maimed, wounded for life. The other ones are going to be frightened for the rest of their lives. And the only people who are not going to ever answer for this crime are the violence dealers, the violence peddlers. Those who I have said have created the sewer pipe that runs out of Hollywood into everyone's brain.
Savage.